Amen. Mike left out the most important part. Three of our children are either working with us. Annie is married to John, and they're about an hour and a half from us up in the mountains. But we have six grandkids. Each of them have two children, and we have six grandchildren down in Mexico, either with us or nearby. And that's a blessing to us. I'd like to be an encouragement to you tonight. You folks are an encouragement to us. And I know that you have a burden for missions, for missionaries, for church planting. And you know, it's very easy to become weary in well-doing because it's hard sometimes. So I hope tonight what I'd like to do is encourage you to keep on keeping on. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. In verses 3 and 4, 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And this is the story about four lepers in the city of Samaria. Samaria is surrounded by the Syrian army. Nobody can go out and nothing can come in. And the people are starving to death. If we were to read back in chapter 6, we see that they are eating things that we would not want to eat. They're eating donkey's heads, and they have to pay a lot of silver just to buy an old donkey's head to eat that. And they're even eating young people dove's dung, and it costs a lot of money and they're even beginning to eat children. And that's a terrible thing, but it shows us the condition. And of all the people that are in the city of Samaria, these four men, these four lepers, are in the worst condition of anybody. The lepers, we're going to see when we read this, that they're at the city gate. They would probably be outside of the city gate, because they have to stay far away from people, because leprosy is a terrible disease, and it's very contagious, and it would start with just a spot, and that spot would grow and become pussy and infected, and then it would maybe spread to a finger or a hand, and they would begin to lose body parts. Well, if the people are starving to death, and if these lepers are depending on handouts from the people, we know that of all the people, they are in the worst condition. And what we want to see tonight is that if anybody had a reason not to do something, it was them. You know, Satan will belittle what we are doing or what we plan to do. And Satan will make us feel insignificant, and Satan will say, "Who are you and what can you do?" But we're going to see that God delights in using the weakest and those that are the most unable. And it does not depend upon us. It depends upon God, and we have a great God. And so in verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" That's a question that each one of us should ask ourselves. "If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." You know, death for the Christian is not the worst thing. And how wonderful it is to have the hope of heaven. Well, these lepers were used by God to save their people. And God wants to use us to save people, to help people, to rescue people. And the reason that God could use them to rescue the people is because they understood three simple truths. And these are three truths that we need to understand. First of all, they said in verse 4, that if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And what they're saying here, what they understand is, we can't go back. We can't go back. Now, don't you know that more than anything, they would like to go back. Go back to the way things used to be. Go back home. Go back to their families. Go back to the life that they used to have. And Satan uses that. He'll do his best to get our eyes turned on the past. And a lot of people are living in the past. Satan has two weapons that he likes to use. He likes to deceive us, and he likes to discourage us. Do you ever think about the good old days? You know, I do. The good old days when I used to live in the United States. Why? In the United States, it doesn't get hot. And we have a tendency, we make a joke out of it. Down in Mexico, we have a tendency to blame everything that happens to us on being missionaries in Mexico. If we don't have enough money, it's because we're missionaries in Mexico. If we have a stomach ache, it's because we're missionaries in Mexico. And God wants us to look back at the good old days. But they understood, hey, we can't go back. And we can't go back. Have you ever seen a Christian that's gets saved? He's a new Christian and he's going for the Lord. And he's excited and doing great things for the Lord. And then he backslides and he goes back to the old life. And what's happened is Satan has deceived him. The good old days. And you get back to where you were and you realize, hey, life is hard here too. Satan wants to deceive us, and then also Satan wants to discourage us. All of us have regrets. All of us have made mistakes. I'm sure that these lepers lived with regret. If only I had not gone around so-and-so. I got this leprosy from being in this place or being with this person. If only I had done things a little bit differently. And there's a lot of people that are looking back. And they're either looking back, being deceived by Satan. They're looking back at, longingly at the good old days. Or they're looking back, they're consumed with looking back with regret. You know, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. If anybody could have lived the rest of his life looking back with regret, it was Paul. Paul was an enemy of Jesus Christ. Paul persecuted the church. People were killed, put to death, because Paul gave his permission. Families were separated. People suffered. And Paul understood, hey, I can't go back and change that. That's history. I have a life now that I need to live. They understood we can't go back. Secondly, they understood we can't stay here. I think if anything, especially here we are on Thursday night, midweek service, the great temptation is to settle in right here. The great temptation is to not press on. To go forward. In the latter part of verse 3, they said, why sit we here until we die? You know, the Christian life is a walk with God. And each step is a step of faith. And it's hard. Did you know that fear and faith go together? And if we step out by faith, there's a certain amount of fear involved because We don't know what's going to happen. We're just trusting God. And sometimes the Lord leads us in a way that does not seem rational to us. Sometimes the Lord leads us in a way that requires sacrifice. And it's not always comfortable. And Well, they said in verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. We can't go back. And if we sit still here, we die also. We can't stay here. When I was pastoring in Silver City, New Mexico, I had an older man in my church, Billy Jones. And he was a great blessing and a help to me and had a lot of experience. And I'd talk with him, and it was always very interesting to talk with him. He'd been a developer all of his life. Out in California in the Los Angeles area, he'd built tracts of homes, thousands of homes. The airport that's in Phoenix, in the early days, he built a large part of that airport, the construction of the buildings. And he was on city councils, and he understood cities. And Silver City, New Mexico, is a pretty town. It's about 12,000 people, and it's up on in the edge of the mountains. It has a real nice climate, very picturesque. And it was listed by Oprah Winfrey as one of the top 10 best small towns to live in the United States, and by other people. And people from California were moving into Silver City. They'd sell high and buy low. But they would come to Silver City, and there was a number of people that had moved into Silver City, and they wanted a no-growth policy. I've moved in. Now let's not let anybody else move in. Let's keep it the way it is. And Bill Jones would get very upset with them, and he said, you know, what they do not understand is that a city cannot stay static. It's either growing or it's dying. And did you know that a Christian is the same way? We're either growing, we're either going forward, or we're going backwards. We're getting cold. We're dying. And I know as I get older, there's a temptation to settle in, become comfortable. You know, it's not always comfortable to go forward, to step out by faith. And, you know, we look at what God has done in our lives, and we're grateful, and we look at the place that God has brought us to, and it's very easy to just settle in. But we can't settle in. We can't go back. We can't stay here. We must go forward. We must go forward. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come. Let's do that. Let's do this now. Now, therefore, come. And let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. Let's go forward. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, I have to go forward. He pressed himself. Did you know? Are you with me? I'm just about to begin my sermon. Okay, all this is introduction. Okay? But I guarantee you, I'll be done on time. Did you know that Paul said those words, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, striving, pressing on, reaching forth unto those things which are before? He said those words 2 years before he said the words, I have finished my course. The last words we read of Paul in 2 Timothy, we believe shortly before he died, I finished my course. 2 years before that, he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. When Paul said those words, Paul was an old man. Paul's body was beat up. He'd been stoned. He'd been beaten. He'd been whipped. I just picture him as... The way I picture him is a short man, sunburned, tanned, bald, with bumps. I've got a big bump in right in the middle of my head. I hope I never go bald. But I had a metal door fall on my head. And I've got a big bump there. You know, they stoned Paul to death. The custom in that time when they would stone somebody, the custom, they drag them out of the city and leave them dead. But the custom was that they would find a big rock and take that rock. And before they left them, they would throw that rock on top of the person's head. Now, I don't know that they did that to Paul, but that was the custom. And I think he had knots on his head, and I think he had scars all over his body, and I think he walked crooked. And we know that he was in pain. And as an old man, he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, as long as God has us on this earth, He has a purpose for us. And He wants to use us in the lives of other people. You know, God loves us, and He has a perfect place waiting for us in heaven. A place where we'll never suffer again, where we'll never have debt, where we'll never cry. And God wants us with Him. But He leaves us here because there are others that He loves, and He wants them to go to heaven also. And He wants to use us, just like He used these lepers to rescue the people. He wants to use us to rescue those people. Okay, I'm getting to my sermon now. Let me give you an illustration, and then I'm going to preach my sermon in about 3 or 4 minutes, okay? I had a social services give me a call down in Mexico, and a lady from Alamos, the director of social services up in Alamos, the city of Alamos up in the mountains, called me, and she said, I've got a 15-year-old boy here. His name is Fernando, and he's from a village way up in the mountains, and he can't stay in his village. Do you have a place for him? And I said, well, let me come and talk to him. So I drove up to Alamos about an hour away from us and sat down and met Fernando. Fernando is from the Wadihillo Indian tribe. Now, our people down where we are Mayo Indians, and he's from a tribe way up in the mountains, a very small tribe. And very backwards. And so I talked. He didn't talk. He was very shy and bashful. Many of those people don't speak Spanish. They just speak their tribal language, their dialect. And so I talked to Fernando. He speaks Spanish. And so we talked. And the social worker told me what was happening in his life. And I said, Fernando, you come down, and we'll have a 2-week probation period. And you can see what we do and where we are and what our rules are. And at the end of 2 weeks, if you want to stay, and at the end of 2 weeks, if we want you to stay, if you've been obedient and have had a good attitude, then you can stay. So he came back with me. We drove back, and he settled in. We moved him into the boys' dormitory. And, you know, it wasn't too long, just a few days afterwards, less than a week, I believe, that Fernando trusted in the Lord as his Savior. And then it wasn't too long after that he followed the Lord in baptism. And Fernando just kind of blossomed. And, you know, when he came to us, he wouldn't talk at all. But after he'd been there for a little while, you couldn't shut him up. You know, he just wanted to talk all the time. And Fernando just loves to dress up more than any of our other boys. He likes to put on a suit and a tie and shiny shoes. And he just changed. You could see the Lord changing him. One day, Mike was out making some visits on a Saturday, and Fernando was with him. And Mike told me that Fernando was just very quiet, kind of withdrawn and discouraged. And with time, Mike didn't push him too much, but with time, He began to talk to Mike, and he asked Mike, can a man that's killed another man go to heaven? And Mike assured him that Jesus Christ died for sin and for sinners, and that his forgiveness forgives all sins, and that when a man trusts in Jesus Christ, he's forgiven and he can go to heaven. And so he accepted that. Later on, he talked with me. And he told me, He said, from the time I was a little boy, I grew up like an animal, just out in the brush. And I worked out in the marijuana fields up in the mountains. And all of the men up there, everyone carries a pistol. And he said, I had a pistol. And he said, when I was 13, they paired me up with another man, a partner to work with. And we got into a fight. And he said, I dove. And when I dove, I drew my pistol and fired it and shot him and killed him. And he kind of told me the story. But he accepted God's forgiveness. And with time, he moved back up to his village. But now let me tell you the rest of the story. He was down with us. And during that time, my son-in-law, John, who's up in the mountains with my daughter, Annie, and their two children, God put a burden on his heart for this particular tribe, the Wadihiyu Indians. They'd see him go by. People would be giving them rides in the back of pickups up to the marijuana fields. And God burdened his heart. And so he went up above where he is, the little village that he lives in, to look for the Wadihiyu Indians. And he found a village with these Indians. And he began to try to talk with the people. And nobody would talk with him. They're very shy. He'd go to a house and he'd try to talk. And the women and the kids would hide in the brush out behind the back of the house. And the men would just stay in the house. They wouldn't come out and talk with him. And he tried several houses. But there was one house that they invited him right in. And they talked with him. And they were very open. And the man in the house, the father of the house, the husband, said, we're interested in what you want to teach. We have a son that left, and he's down in Navajoa, and he's living with Christians. And we've seen the change in his life. And we want what he has. Well, that house, just by coincidence, God led John to Fernando's family's house up in the mountains. Now, Fernando is back up in the mountains, and this was about 3 years ago that all this was happening. Fernando's back up in the mountains, and John is still going up to that village, and some of our boys from our institute, just before we came out to the States a few weeks ago, they went up with John to that village. And they came back, and they were excited, and they said, they had a service with John, and they said, you wouldn't believe how many men came out. And, you know, God's doing a work there in that village. And it's because Fernando decided not to look back. I can't go back. And I can't stay here. I have to go forward. And he's going forward for the Lord. And I believe that God is working through him to reach other Indians. Okay, very quickly. In verse 5, the Bible says, they said, we must go forward. In verse 5, the Bible says, and they rose up in the twilight. The sun had set. It was getting dark. To go unto the camp of the Syrians. In verse 4, they said, now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. Let's do this now. You know, if God is leading us to do something, we need to do it in God's timing. There's a word that we like in Mexico, and it's the word mañana. Isn't that a nice word? It just sounds nice. Mañana. Yeah, I'll do it. Mañana. And if I was them, I would have said, let's go in the morning. You know, it's dark. Man, anybody comes around after dark and they're just going to shoot that man and then find out later who that guy was. And in the daylight, they're going to be able to see us from a distance and they're going to see that we're just pitiful lepers. Maybe they'll have mercy on us. The Bible says, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, you know, they were just going forward in the dark, and they must have been calling out, letting the sentry know, hey, don't kill us. We're just poor lepers. Behold, there was no man there. In verse 6, we won't read it, but the Bible said that says that God had sent a noise to the Syrians, a noise of chariots and horses. And they thought that a great army was coming, and they fled for their lives. In verse 7, look at this. Wherefore they arose and fled, when? In the twilight. The exact time that God had put on those lepers' heart, on their hearts to go forward, was the exact time that God was working with the Syrians. The Bible says in verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Now picture this. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. What happens at twilight? Supper time. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll find out. But I think maybe on the table was a hot meal. Can you imagine that? These guys hadn't eaten a meal in no telling how long. They were starving to death. And God had a hot meal waiting for them. And they did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Man, this was a great day. I mean, their problems were over, except for leprosy, you know. But, I mean, they got food and they got silver and gold and clothing. They went forward into the enemy's territory. Are you with me? And God gave them the enemy's treasure. Now, we have an enemy. And what is Satan's greatest treasure in this world? People. Fernando was the enemy's treasure. He had a grip on him, and he was destroying. Satan delights in destroying people's lives, watching them suffer. And in his perverse way, Satan had Fernando, and that was his treasure. That was his prize. But God took that treasure from Satan and gave him to us. And God has people that He wants to give to us. But we have to go forward. We have to step out by faith. And it's a risk and it's uncomfortable. And we're afraid. And we have to go into the enemy's stronghold, into the enemy's territory, in God's timing. But if God leads us, and if we go forward, God will give to us the enemy's treasure. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. The gospel means good tidings, good news. And we hold our peace. We're not telling anybody. We have the answer for ourselves, but there are others that need what we have. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come. Now, don't you know, it's nighttime. Who knows what time it is at night? Maybe 2 in the morning. I don't know. And they go in, and I can just picture them running around from tent to tent. They got treasure in this arm, gold and clothing in this arm, and they've got a turkey drumstick in this arm, and the grease is running down their arm, you know, and they're eating, and man, they're excited. And they probably ate a lot. They've been running around. And they were probably pretty sleepy after that. And it would have been real easy. Let's just wait till morning. Mañana. We'll do this mañana. They said, no. Let us come now. Let's do it now. Let's go forward now. And we need to go forward. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We need to take the advantage of the opportunity that God is giving us today. Amen, Pastor.